Hey, guys, if you missed out on the last conference in Nashville, Tennessee, you don't want to miss out on the next one. It's April 28th through May 3rd, Orlando, Florida, the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. You made a mistake missing the last one. You don't want that to happen again on this one. 5 days of some of the best training you're ever going to experience packed into one event. We have an early bird special right now, $50 off. Use 24 early bird on our website, streetcop.com. Look for the conference. Click the link. Register today. If you want to get significantly better at this profession in 5 days, don't dare miss out on the 2024 Street Cop Conference. 111-110.
Let's dive into today. Listen, Drew, listen, you got this. You got Dennis on here. You bring him in.
Look, street cop training is the training that cops deserve. They're creating confident police officers nationwide. There's 70 courses, over 40 instructors. And if you can't tell I'm reading. We got the guy who founded it and the guy that's running it sitting right in the middle of us. It's a Dennis Bonino sandwich. Dennis, why don't you give us a rundown of what the state of police training is? We definitely want to delve like later into the most prolific story that's going on in the news today, apparently. But what's going on, Dennis?
I appreciate you guys having me here. I feel honored.
Oh,
thanks for having me. Honored. And dude, like I got to be honest with you, the mullet's fantastic.
Thank you.
I can see it. It's so profound that you don't even have to turn around. It's and you know, I just so you guys know, I got a little bit of a mohawk going.
Oh, I like that.
Mohawk.
I brought it back at 42.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. That's tough. That's like very Chuck Liddell-ish. You know what I mean? 2023
Chuck guy. Liddell. You know what I'm saying? So like I'm a fit looking dude. I think it's appropriate for my look.
It takes at least a year off of you. You know what I'm saying? People would guess you're 41. Dennis, when I was on your podcast, when I was on Street Cop Podcast, is it Street Cop Training Podcast or Street Cop Podcast? But at any rate, if you'll remember it right, I had just freshly cut my own hair. And I had probably America's worst haircut at that point. And I told you that my father, God rest his soul, told me the difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut is about 2 fucking weeks. Now, I want you to rate what I got going on here. I mean, I'm aging. I get it. And you know, you said I was 70 on your podcast. You misidentified that. I'm only 61. please tell me, how is the hair look now? It's not jersey.
Better than last time.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like a couple of weeks ago, you looked like a Mormon school child. You know, like from one of those Mormon, family of 12.
Okay.
Right. The 10-year-old cutting everybody's hair.
Like this.
So his haircut reflected more like he was lost in like an abandoned mine for like 11 days and finally got out.
In the 30s. Like yeah. I had time travel.
Who's getting lost in mines these days?
That's what I'm saying. Just him. Just Drew.
Yeah, that's how bad it was. That's definitely how bad.
Like, how do you even go there? Like
he was exploring one day, lost his way, but had rations to survive for three or four weeks.
Yeah.
Right? The search party was out, but he realized it was all up to him to get himself out of there.
Yeah, I was eating those stupid fucking protein puffs or whatever they are. The bag of protein puffs.
That was a huge flex, though. Like, I'm sitting here, like, I just crushed a German chocolate cake that was on sale from Aldi, and you sit down and you're like, I've got my testosterone-fueled whey puffs. And you've got a solid pump going right now, too.
Did push-ups before this.
No. Hold on. I did work out before I got here today. I just had a call with a woman who did my, like, they did blood work, a panel on me about, like, you know, like, all, they just did the whole thing, right? And she's like, you know, she's like, you look great, but you're getting close to being pre-diabetic. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? She's like, yep. She's like, cut out the, and then she was like, you need better omega-3s. And I'm like, yo, I got a bag of fucking nuts in here that say omega-3 on them. That's got to work, right?
No, I used
literally
to do
that wrapped it. Yeah.
I used to do the street cop, the little physical every year and the health assessment. And, you know, they always choose like the worst people to do those health assessments. They're all civilians and they're all like grossly overweight and they're all trying to tell you. But one of them told me that I'm trying to figure out how she worded it, but it was something like diabetes has a gun to your head and your finger is on the trigger. And I was like, what? And she was like, you're almost like you're borderline diabetic and it's up to you. It's what you do now. And I'm like, yo, look at you. Like, you've got to have like stage 4 diabetes or whatever it is. Cause
you have both feet. Like I love a nutritionist / medical practitioner that kind of, you know, uses the metaphors of suicide at all times.
It was so great though. She was like, diabetes has a gun to your head and your finger's on its trigger. I was like, that's intense. Like, calm down.
Do you think she sits up at night, like going through metaphors made for medicine, you know, like medicinal purposes?
Yeah. I don't think she, I'm pretty sure she's used that line more than once. Like, I don't think she came up with that one on the spot.
Dang, I wasn't
saying those in the mirror before she goes to work in the day. You're good. You know,
yeah. Speaking of which, this is of being able to talk in front of people. Here's something I admire about Dennis. And you'll identify with this, Eric, because you're very crass. Dennis, do you have an opinion on instructors specifically who cuss or swear in front of academy students and or, you know, continuing education in law enforcement?
You know, I really do believe that there is no reason to curse in law enforcement ever. Those guys are completely unprofessional. Okay, I'm the fucking epitome of foul mouth, inappropriate comments. But, you know, listen, we had this conversation yesterday. It's a tool that you have to understand that even the best in the business outside of law enforcement, like if you ever go to a Tony Robbins conference, you'll pay $3,000 to walk on hot coals or $10,000 to learn basics about business. That dude curses more than anybody you'll ever meet in your life, but publicly it doesn't appear that way. And I think every time I went to an academy, because I went 3 of them, I specifically enjoyed the instructors who were more real when they came in and started firing out foul language. So it's encouraged here because it's an attention grabber.
If you ever are in the military and Delta Force guys, they come to recruit. They'll usually stop by, you know, when I was in special operations, they came by and did a recruitment class. And what I thought was really cool about them, and I've only seen it one other time and it was in law enforcement, but they show up in the baddest ass of suits. Their hair is slicked back. I mean, dude, these guys look like, I mean, they're gangster. They look so good and they speak so articulate and so hard. There's no swearing. There's no cussing. Everything is like perfect. There's no uhs or ums or stutters. And they're like absolutely perfect. There's only one other instructor that I met like that in a police setting where, and he was a gang instructor, but he came in, slicked back hair, full suit and was perfect. Unless you can speak like that and perfect, that's the only time I can tolerate somebody not swearing. If you can't be perfect, then just let it all go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think Dennis summed it up best. Like, if you sit down to Christmas dinner at my family's table and you don't cuss, we're all going to think you're fucking weird.
Oh, man.
I think it just brings a human element to the whole thing. And I'm telling you, like, it's hard not to cuss growing up in a law enforcement environment, first of all. You're bred from the streets, right? And if you're real with the people that you're trying to connect with, that you're trying to teach or you're trying to, and you're not doing it just, you know, like gratuitous fuck yous and whatever, it really kind of humanizes you. It brings them, it is the attention getter that you say, but it's also like, this guy's, you know, this gator's got some fucking scars on his back from this manatee's got some scars on his back from the props of the propeller. He's been in the lake for a little while, in other words. So if you get up there and try to be prim and proper and, you know, temper your or use fluffy words or whatever, no one's going to buy into your bullshit. Trust me. And I'm talking as hey, I was just an academy instructor. Then I taught interviews and interrogations for about 10 years or whatever. And I'm talking to the other budding instructors. If you think that you're going to get by standing up there prim and proper and doing your like fucking clean, you know, Brian Regan set, it's not going to work because they don't believe you. And secondly, your job is to prepare them for the outside world. Now, if you're a Christian and you don't believe in using foul language and you can emote that professionally and all that, that's fine. Like, I have no ill will towards that whatsoever. It's just not the reality of what these young men and women are about to face. So if your job is to prepare them for what they're about to face, we don't want them shocked the first time we hear someone say, get the fuck out of my face. True or false?
I don't know how we live in a society that I watch my 6- and 8-year-old and 9-year-old watch YouTube and they are sitting there and they're subjected to profanity, which is fine with me because I don't have a problem with it. And then we go to a professional law enforcement classroom where these men and women are not only over the age of 18, they've all had sex and they all are allowed to buy pornography and probably have seen plenty of it. And then on top of it, part of their profession is getting cursed at, screamed at, investigating rapes, homicides, significant catastrophic incidents. But we must remain professional because we're trying to make sure that these people are robots. None of it makes sense. And generally when it's criticized by somebody who has pretty much no affiliation with law enforcement at all, or if they're actually in it, they're probably the most hated guy or girl in the fucking building who want it super clean because they're fucking losers.
Right.
Fucking kind nerds, actually.
Yeah, they're nerds. They're nerds. I mean, and he'll tell you, go to a police department. I mean, there's typically two crews of people, the fucking cool kids and the dorks.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of cool kids and the dorks, this video that just came out, the biggest thing that I've been getting is exactly that. The dorks are like, he started this thing off too loud. He was, I'll say this. I'd love to get the street cop training in here and you can talk to me. You know, I'd like to get your opinion on it. But I think the days of your authority as a police officer, the authority that you think you had 10 years ago is not there anymore. So brute strength, tone of voice, even your confidence and your bravado isn't going to get you out of the situations that it would have gotten you out of 10 years ago. Now you have to have, in my opinion, an extra tool in your bag called empathy. And we got it to like those days of get out of the car and put your hands on the car. That doesn't work anymore. Matter of fact, it can do just the opposite because we've had a societal breakdown, a breakdown in society of, you know, because in school, teachers can't talk like that. You can't talk like that in public, period. You know, babysitters can't talk like that. The parents are constantly defending the kids. So now we're dealing with generations that have never been told no. And so when you're like, get out of the car and put your hands on the hood of the car, you now have a whole generation of people who want that exact escalation because they want to dance with you on that.
Let me take it a step further, Eric. We have a whole generation that are now entering law enforcement that have been raised that way, one. And two, they're raised non-confrontational. You think about it. When I was a shift commander on the midnight shift, it was it was very easy for me to set the example of what proactive policing was because I got out of my fucking car every once in a while. And like, they're just like in amazement that you can go talk to people face to face at 2 a.m. who are walking down the street in a white and black striped shirt with a sack on their fucking back. Like, how else are you going to determine who's committing crimes in your area if you don't stop and talk to people? I mean, and you know, I tell them all the time, look, you know, if it's the dishwasher leaving the Outback at 3 a.m. on his bike, then send him on his fucking way. But ask who he is. You got a kind of duty to ask who he is. And you could do it in a consensual way. You don't have to stop him every single time. They are used to texting one another. So if they could text these fucking bad guys and ask them, are you out committing crime? You know, I think they would be more happy. I have a 13-year-old stepdaughter who I love and adore. She is paralyzed by fear. If we complain about, if you order a steak and they slap a piece of chicken on a plate and hand it to you, you're probably going to say, excuse me, I ordered the steak. She gets paralyzed by fear. And she's the measuring stick for me right now that's the generation we're raising. Don't say anything.
Okay. And you that's exactly right. I'm going to jump in here and say that's the generation you're raising. So her behavior, who's responsible for it?
Yeah, I'm in a precarious spot, but I wholeheartedly agree with you because I'm the stepfather. I'm not the father, but
you're not my real dad. How does that make you feel?
I have that.
You're not the real dad.
I have that talk all the time. Like, look, do not let people trample all over you. And you can be very subtly confrontational without being full on confrontational. Right. But it has bled into, or we go back maybe 8 or 10 years. This is who's getting into law enforcement now. The same people that are meek, the same people that are willing to argue with you in the post comments on fucking street cop training, but they won't, if they see you, they piss their pants. If they see you, you know what I mean? It's, and I'm not, look, I can't label an entire generation as that. That's not fair.
But well, yeah, but my point with this is that, and this is where I want Dennis to weigh in on it here. My point here is that, like, we've got a lot of cops that are still doing the 10 years ago, tough guy. You just blew my doors off at 100. Get out of the car. And now we're getting this just generation of, I don't get out of the car. Why? Yo, it's just speeding. Why are you talking to me? Like, get out of the car. You can't talk to me that way. Get out of the car now and put your, stop talking. Why are you doing this? And it's just like this repetitive cycle. Nobody's doing, like, even the cops don't have the balls anymore. Like, we're past those days where you just snatch them, throw them on the ground and put them in the cuffs. It's over. So with this video that we're about to show you, Dennis, the cop does that. I'm fine. But listen, that was 10 years ago. You could do that and get away with it. But now he finds himself into this repetitiveness that I'm talking about. And it's embarrassing. And even though the shoot is probably good and he's justified, well, I think he's completely 100% justified in this shoot. But it looks foolish and it looks stupid because we've had this runaround that every cop seems to be getting into these days.
Lack of training, lack of administrative support. Those two things will be the essentially formula for what we're seeing. And I got to tell you, the only time you see that stuff is in certain areas. I can guarantee you, I could name 10 agencies that if you tried to play some shit like that with them, their administration has told them, we're not playing that shit here. So if those guys do it, we'll have your back. Now, on the other side of the coin, I would also argue that there has been almost no training in how to communicate. So while I was part of the generation of get out of the car, I think I was one of the first at my agency to start blending the two of, if I don't have to get physical, I have enough emotional intelligence to make sure I can use my words and my language and my behavior and my attitude to get people to be much more cooperative than just going physical or screaming. So there's a balance. The only thing is you got to know that at some point talking is off, but it's rare that talking is off.
Yeah.
And so I'd rather see people learn how to communicate. And I hate to use this word de-escalate because it's been associated with wokeness. Even our instructor who teaches this, Jeff Scholes, who was the top negotiator for the New York State Police for 17 years, hostage negotiator. He didn't want to call his class that. But we're trying to get people to understand what it is. And if you take his class, I've talked about this before, the first three videos, he shows you how the situations ended and the kind of communication the police had. And the next three videos he shows you are completely opposite and what the result was. So I think piece by piece and incident by incident, we have to analyze is like, we can be better as cops, no doubt about it. But people can also be better as human beings. But let me just remind you something. 24, 23, 22 years ago, whenever I started this thing, there were lazy fuck cops, just so we're clear.
Sure.
Most of them were. So this is not a new thing. And number two, people were assholes to us, right? Maybe that people say it's a lot more now. Well, if you work in Philly, sure, I fucking bet because they don't get away with it. You work at the NYPD, I bet because they know they get away with it. But I promise you, they're not in some of these counties and cities where it's known that they're not tolerating your shit. Because if you step out of line with them and you don't match at least the professionalism or you want to start to play, you know, play stupid games, you're going to find out. And I think that's a comfortable place to be. But those cops also need to respect the idea that they need to learn how to communicate as best as they can. And unfortunately, sometimes, and Jeff Scholes starts class like this. He's like, hey, we're going to try to talk to you. But if you charge me with a knife, we're shooting you in the head.
People underestimate the, and I always taught my rookies, ask questions before we start delivering answers. If somebody blows your door off at 115 miles an hour, I think you start that conversation off and give them the benefit of the doubt. And it works for me. As much use of force as I got into, everybody was like, it's unbelievable how much shit you get yourself out of. And it's because I know how to talk to people, but it's as simple as like, yo, hey, brother, 115, dog. You saw my car, right? Did you see me? And they'd be
so
like,
so you mentioned, I mean, that's disrespectful. Like to blow that. We're going to take that almost personal. If you blow by me doing 115 miles an hour.
Right. Yeah. Instead of just going and saying like, hey, was there a reason why we're doing this?
But this is respect gets respect. Right. So I this is, you know, what Dennis is saying. And I agree with wholeheartedly and what you're saying, Eric. I think, you know, the three of us are outside of the profession now looking in. And I don't think that there is I don't think there's a fresher set of eyes to be able to do that because we're not caught in the mire, and we're not caught up in the headlines, and we're not caught up in everything else. And it is, there is a communication problem. Respect does get respect, meaning that's a two-way street. If you disrespect somebody walking up to their car, you're going to get disrespect in return, especially now. Like the video we're about to show, Eric, let me read the headlines. This is how it's stacked against us. I'm not whining and complaining. I'm saying we can all help change this, but these are the media headlines that you will read when you Google the words, Georgia kills wrongfully convicted. That's what I used. PBS, Georgia deputy kills black man who spent 16 years in incarceration. YouTube, man wrongly imprisoned for 16 years, killed during traffic stop. Wrongfully convicted Florida man shot, killed by Georgia trooper. U.S. man wrongfully imprisoned for 16 years, shot and killed by police. Video shows a struggle before Georgia deputy shoots and kills black man. Exonerated man wrongfully jailed in Florida. The fucking deck is stacked against us. Like you're
well, it's the media deck, right?
To adapt. Yeah.
It's the media deck. What they're trying to do, so we can all be very clear, is they need to generate revenue and clicks so they can sell ad space. And that's the game. So they need that. You got to understand, like, nobody's happier about conflicts in Israel and Ukraine.
You're right.
And COVID-19 more than the media, because everybody's glued to the TV and they're going to FoxNews.com and CNN.com and BBC.com. This is how they make their money. So anything that sounds a little frothy, that has some dollar signs on it, they'll test it. And by the way, if it doesn't take, they'll dump it in a day. You'll see, they'll find something else. So it may not take. And I got to tell you, if I had to be that guy, I think being a Georgia Highway Patrol officer is probably the best case scenario for a fair review, for sure.
It goes a step further, though, because it trickles to social media. And social media is just filled with people who want this to be the truth. So individually in their own little packs push this bullshit agenda that like the headline should be, you know, because he's black and he was killed by police, that should be the headline. It has nothing to do with the fact that he had his hand wrapped around the cop's neck and he didn't.
Yeah. I think most people are hip to the game now. So I wouldn't, you know, for me, I wouldn't read too much into this. I think you're, you know, the silent majority is the majority. And I hate to call it a silent majority, but you know, when I say a silent majority, they're probably going, this is fucking stupid. Another one of these things. Right.
Yeah.
And the reality is most people at this point now have had enough of this fucking game where the cops are the bad guys. So while we're probably adding fuel to it, I think that we're, you know, essentially it's our job to discuss it, but I think that we're kind of having a conversation with all your listeners that are just like, yeah, we agree. Like there's no debate here. This is one of the most ridiculous things. And the morons are the ones who are offended by it. Let's face facts.
I agree in that in a sense we're adding fuel to it, but I will never stop advocating. I'm not saying you're not.
Yeah,
I will never stop advocating. Like, so I will call bullshit when I see bullshit, just because I think every once in a while, the cops on the street who don't have administrations, they fucking, it's like fatherless children. Just like, you know, they need someone to stick up for them, at least say something like, hey guys, just fucking keep your head up. Just like you're saying, don't pay attention to what these fucking media headlines are. That's a very small percentage of the country is paying attention to that anyway. But you know,
I mean, that's why we started this whole podcast channel, is so that first responders never have to go back to mainstream media. We do 5 shows a week. We have crime news, true crime. We have political news on Wednesdays, dispatch stuff, and then we have the Friday breakdowns. I mean, this is so cops don't ever have to go back to mainstream media to get all the things, all the talking points, so they don't sound like a robot cop all weekend long to their civilian friends. That's what our whole channel is about. Really quick before we dive into this video, Drew, I want to take a minute to acknowledge our paid members in the YouTubes and our Patreons. We got a bunch of people in the chats today. Abby's Ellsworth from On Being a Police Officer podcast is in here. Tactical Dude, Last Known President, Teresa K, Will Cray. I'm just going to go up. Joe Russo's in here too. And it Davey, I'm not going to keep scrolling up because I can do this all day. However, if you want to drop a super chat, for a question specifically for Dennis on street cop training, feel free to do so. I will hit those at the end of the show. Friendly reminder, head over for bonus content to our Patreon at patreon.com/failuretostop. And please leave us a 5-star rating and review. We're up to almost 1,800 ratings and reviews on just iTunes. I'd like to get the iTunes or the Apple podcast up to 2,000 before the end of the year. So if you're one of those 1,200 that's left us a review on Spotify, please head over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating there. Get us to that 2,000 number by Christmas, and vice versa on the other side. Drew, you want to go ahead and play this video really quick, and then we'll have Dennis do his guru street cop training.
I do, but I got to find a good clip for it.
No, you're good. You're fine.
That's so good.
That's terrible, actually.
It is. Because
we're rookies.
We were discussing several different options, if you remember.
I know. We could talk to this guy all day.
I mean, yeah. why do you let a 61-year-old man run the technology? You fucking crazy. It's like my grandmother with a VCR.
That should tell you something, though, Dennis. You know what I mean? Like, if he's letting me do it, what's that tell you?
We've got Nijkin dropping $27. He wants to ask Dennis. Dennis, before you read the super chat and be highly offended by Nijkin, he's from fucking like Switzerland or like Sweden. Like, Sweden. So nobody even like gives a shit about that country anyway, or their race. Is Swedish a race? Is that a race, by the way? But Nijkin says, Denise, is that a girl's name?
And you keep calling it $27, but it's in kroner. So it's basically, you know, I think like $4 in America.
Oh,
but okay, let me just jump in here.
Yes, Denise is a girl's name, but I'm not Denise. I am Dennis. I'm only Denise. What's today? Friday. Tomorrow I'll be Denise. It's when I go out and I do my personal stuff. I polish up my 4-inch pumps today because I'm going out to be Denise tomorrow. But
we speak your name, Denise. We respect and admire you.
So if you want me on your podcast tomorrow, it's gonna be a whole different version of me. No mohawk, full wig.
Yeah.
Blonde. All right.
Nope, I can't hear it.
Oh man, you're kidding me.
No. But I think was there another super chat up there? While he fixes that, was there another super chat up there? Will Craig.
I know the last president's been saying hello. Thanks, man. I see you coming in. I see the messages. I appreciate you wanting me to be here. I still can't figure out why people think I'm snazzy or dandy, but I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
They think you're what?
Snazzy, dandy.
What is that for you?
Like snazzy, dude. The bee's knees. You know, I'm going
19. Yeah, definitely a jersey term.
You're our snazzy. Will Cray says, "What is your dumbest encounter?" But you can save it for later if we don't have time. But I mean, do we have time, Drew, to hear his dumbest encounter?
Of course we do. I'm just mystified by this audio problem because you are my witness as anybody else. To the point of annoyment, you can hear everything on my. Hold on a second. Can you hear this?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I think we're getting somewhere. I think this is mostly Dennis's fault. That's fine. Hold on. We're good.
All right, while you're working on that, Dennis, what's your dumbest encounter that you've ever had as a cop? This guy, Will Cray, look, he's from Wyoming, bored as shit all the time because it's Wyoming. Like, has anything to do in Wyoming. So he likes to hear stories. Give him a story, Dennis. What's your dumbest encounter ever?
I mean, I don't know if I would need time. Hi, Sarah. I would need time to really put some thought into it. I could tell you one thing that just came to mind. I was trying to search in a little bit. I was stopping to get gum at a gas station. I worked in a pretty busy area. And so I'm like in line and the guy in front of me is fucking wasted. It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'll never forget. He was a Spanish dude. He's like, "Can I get a bag of Weinstones?" And I'm like, I'm in full uniform behind him with a black and white in the park, like literally right outside the door of the place. And I'm like, what? Like, did this guy walk here? So he like gets his cigarettes, like can't get his card out of his wallet, and like he's a wreck. And so I said to the guy, "Did he drive here?" And the guy goes, "Yeah." And he like just ignored the police car, gets in this minivan, and starts driving. And I'm like, I'm like, holy shit! 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I stopped the car. He blew like a 2.8. Oh. I mean, literally, I was like parked next to his car, and then on top of it. He shit his pants in the back of the police car. He's like, "I'm sorry, I'm very nervous." So I'll never forget when his wife, who seemed to be very disinterested in like his, I guess, granddaughter, because he's an older guy, came to pick him up because we released him to her. I'm like, "Just so you know, he defecated himself here, so he stinks." And I never get the granddaughter being like, "Oh God, are you serious?" So I had to deal with that DWI at 4 in the afternoon, like literally start a shift at 5 in the afternoon. Because I mean, he's just that's how
but he saw you, right? Like, he saw you in the parking
standing
lot with
behind
your...
him in line. It wasn't like it was, he wanted there was, he literally dude. Opened the door and walked past a black and white Dodge Charger or something.
So, you know,
like,
he's
or
been doing this for a long time, dude. He's probably been driving that shit faced to that gas station for like years, dude.
And Winston's, by the way, Winston's are the wish.com of Marlboros. You know what I mean? So he's not even getting like the real tough cowboy killer cigarettes. He's getting
Winston. I could just hear him in my head going, "Can I get a pack of Winstons?" That's all. And I was like, "Did this guy fucking drive here?" I literally said to the guy working at the counter. He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "I think so." I'm like, "Which car are you coming?" He's like, "That fucking minivan out there." I'm like, "Come on." And then I'm like, "No way." And so I go outside. He's taking off down there. I mean, I stopped him literally in a block.
What is that accent? Is that Orlando, Florida?
Yeah, I'm from
Orlando, Florida. Yeah.
I think though, if Nyche can translate that in Swedish, what you're saying, "Can I get a pack of Winstones?" is "May I shit in the backseat of your car?" And yeah. And you brought him in. You invited him in. This is your fault, not anybody else.
You should have known.
All right.
You got this thing working this there? Again.
I think so. Let's.
All right. Let's see it. Class is in session. Pay attention.
Right. The verdict is.
Hands behind your back.
Oh, we're going to start right here. We're not even going to start at the beginning?
Nope.
Put your hands behind your back.
Cool.
Shit.
Oh, that's so scary on the side of that highway.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Man,
I'm stressed out. Oh, shit. He's got a baton out.
Stick.
Dude, that's a bold move, brother. Boy, gosh, he's flexible. Oh. And now he shot him. Bam. Put one right in his chest. Oh. Contact shot right in the chest. So, I mean.
Shot fired, Camden.
You didn't say it loud enough. Try one more
bring
time.
Security pulling up to give him a hand.
Yeah,
that
I saw
was,
that
dog.
Too.
How cool is that?
I got to find the approach, Eric. So just.
Yeah.
Just
let me talk about this really fast. One, that's terrifying. I don't pull cars over on the highway. You can have it. You want to blow my doors off at 150 miles an hour? See you later. Too big of a pussy to do that. I was an inner city street cop. If the speed limit's more than 35 miles an hour on that road, I'm not pulling you over on it. Cause I don't want to get hit by a car. That right there. That's all I would be thinking about was, oh my God, this guy's going to push me in front of a semi.
Yeah, that's the hazard of the job. And this goes to, and I'm telling you, this is one of Dennis's training points. I'm not even like kissing his ass by saying this. Why wouldn't you approach on the fucking safest plane that you have? And you know, I'll find the front part of this so we can.
I'm going to jump in here and say this.
Yeah, go for it.
When I train cops, I always explain to them, like, it's only your fault if you've been given perspective and you ignore the safer route. So I'm going to say this. In this man's defense, everything we look at when we sit here and criticize police work, a lot of times it's not really the fault of the cop. It's a lack of training. Almost every single thing you watch, you would say, why would he do that? Why would she do that? Why would they do that? Everything I see in this video is a lack of training. And so these are the stark realities of, I'm not going to go train jujitsu. I'm not going to go take training courses on how to approach. I'm not going to. And so I'm not saying the guy's not trained. I'm saying it's clear as day that, you know, you get a guy here who's a blue belt. I think it goes a little different. You know what I'm saying? That's just
me. Yeah, because he did go really high on that guy. That's the one thing I noticed. And, like, that's what kind of fucks you over right there. But I also looked at he has a rain jacket on, too. So maybe he didn't want to get his boots dirty. Listen, I've been there. Listen, I've taken that shortcut where I'm like, dude, I'm not walking in that tall, wet grass and fucking up my pants this early. I gotta wear these for the next 3 days in a row because I never change my pants.
I don't want to sit here and go into like what this guy did wrong, because
we never do. The only thing I wanted to show from this video and the only thing I wanted to get was really the beginning. I don't really care about the fight because we all do weird shit in fights and we're all going to do something different and, you know, we all have our reasons. But really what's pissed everybody off on TikTok is the guy's tone of voice at the beginning of this video. And a lot of people are thinking that he shouldn't have talked that way. That's why I kind of had the monologue of like those days of us being able, you know, 10 years ago, you could talk like that and it would work. It's not working these days because everybody wants you to talk like that so that they can fight with you back. But if you start talking to people, we change the way we're policing nowadays. And we start going in with the more of like, hey man, any reason why you went by me at 115 miles an hour? Nah, fuck the police. Yeah, okay. All right. Hey, just give me a second, man. Put your hands on the dash there. You got any weapons in the car? you know, I'm just going to hang out right here, but just stay right there where you're at. We'll work through this, man. It's a speeding ticket for sure. Hold on, you know, send me another unit. And then when it gets there, then we can start getting into the mix. But I think what everybody is jumping on is the initial approach right here,
which I have. So I wanted to talk about it. Think I have.
All right, but that's it.
Just to be clear too, Dennis, so you understand and the audience knows, we're a breakdown show on Friday mornings, and we take incidents like this and we dissect them and we do that productively. Like if something needs to be called out, we call it out. It's not, I would never Monday morning quarterback this cop. He had to do what he had to do. He started how he started it. And you know, like there's no greater statement against our self-interest than if you look at our Uvalde stuff, like the stuff that we said about the Uvalde officers, like everybody just fucking slow down on the coward stuff and let's evaluate it for what it is. And
all lack of training, all of it's a lack of training.
It is
100%. You're right. And you don't know what you don't know. You know what I'm saying?
On top of that, like you don't even like, dude, everything that you're seeing, if you just, you look at videos and you watch police videos, and I think it's a really good idea for a lot of people to Monday morning quarterback these videos so they can learn from them. You, this constant theme should be playing in your head. Like, do I think they were trained or I think they were not trained?
Yes.
So we know from our position that we know that there's a significant lack of training here. The point is, it's not even his fault, because who did he get trained by? How much training are we sending people to? You know, there could be some, you know, but again, trained or not, let's cast the blame where it belongs. You should not be trying to kill a fucking police officer on the side of the road.
You have no right to
defend myself. Right, I'm saying defend myself.
Yeah. You have no right to that officer's taser either. You know what I mean? Like that shooting in New Mexico. Like you have no right to grab somebody's shit. Here, let's see if this works. God, I pray this works.
Get out. Put your damn hands back here. Who are you? Step on your sheriff's office.
Is it working?
I don't care. Step to the rear of this vehicle. In the name of the law of the state of Georgia, step back here. Now you're getting tased. Watch me now. Put your hands on the back of that truck. Do you see that? Put your hands on the back of that truck. Back of the truck. Both hands. Turn around. 34. Can you send me another unit?
He's got to be drunk, right?
I don't know. He is acting kind of weird, but he's also.
Your name is Officer Who? Staff Sergeant Aldridge with the Camden County Sheriff's Office.
Who County?
Camden County. Put your hand behind your back.
Do I have a warrant? Wait. No. Excuse me.
That's where it goes wrong.
Put your hands behind your back because you're getting tased. I'm telling you that right now.
Why am I getting tased?
Because you are under arrest for speeding and reckless driving.
I'm not driving. Nobody was hurt. How was I speeding?
You passed me doing 100 miles an hour.
Okay, so that's a speeding ticket, right?
Sir, tickets in the state of Georgia are criminal offenses.
I don't have a ticket in Georgia.
You do now?
Why?
You passed me doing 100 miles an hour.
Offense and what? I'm not going
hands to jail. Behind your back. Yes, you are going to jail. Hands behind your back.
All right, he tased him at that point. He just braced. All he did was like, back. I'm taking it. Now he's ripping the wires out. And now he's engaged in full battle. They're right at the fog line of this whole thing. So it's dangerous enough, but you know, he's got his arms around the guy's neck and the guy's got his arms around his neck, and he's significantly stronger, and it appears anyway, and he takes out his
ass. He's trying to kill him. Yeah, he's definitely trying to kill him. He's got his hand over his mouth, wants to have him pass out. He can't breathe. Yep.
So there it is. And tonight we know, you know, and we saw the other half a second ago. We just put it out of order, but
yeah, and I've only watched this video because I got bombarded with messages. By the way, one of these street guys, I love all you guys out there. You just sent me your entire breakdown of your thing. I'm not going to call you out by name, but I disagree with a lot of it. When I see this videotape right here, what you are missing is I guarantee you he ran that tag when the guy blew by him at 100 miles an hour. And when you see that the guy did 14 years in prison for homicide or for murder, that's going to get your heart rate up just a little bit too. And it's just not normal that somebody blows your doors off at 100 miles an hour when you're in a fully marked unit and just doesn't give a fuck. I'll put it that the cop's emotions got in the way here, but we've all done that. We've all been there. We've all fucked that part up. We've all been like, what? What are you thinking? That's why I started my monologue out the way it is. Now, look, is that wise? No. But is it wrong? No, it's not like legally wrong or anything like that. Could he have done a lot of things better? Yeah, but I don't think with all the rhetoric on Twitter and things that this cop escalated anything. I don't think he escalated anything. I think he did what a normal human would do with those emotions. I know we're supposed to be abnormal, right? But that's just not the case. This guy could have been dealing with some other bullshit earlier in the case, you know, where maybe an 8-year-old wouldn't give a cell phone back and he might just be annoyed to no end already. And this just put him over the edge. We don't know those kind of questions, but I don't know if his tone or his manner was wrong. Obviously, we know now wasn't wise, but
I mean, you could see the moment where he stops complying. You know, he was somewhat non-compliant to begin with, but you can see the moment where he made the decision to not comply anymore. I think the word jail was mentioned, and when you take it in totality, this guy was wrongfully incarcerated for 14 years before he was set free. He's thinking, "I'm going right fucking back." Like
I think for me, I'm going to just jump in here and say that we're being very presumptuous about a lot of stuff. But I think we have to get down to the brass tacks of things. Is whether you like the attitude of the cop or not, he had the right to do what he was doing legally. His communication may not have been perfect. We must submit to law enforcement authorities. If there's a problem with his attitude, you can file an internal affairs complaint later on. And you can deal with that with an attorney later on. But the bottom line is there's a difference between not going in handcuffs and actively trying to take the life of a law enforcement officer. And it's clear as day that once this gentleman had made a decision that he was going to resist, he not only resisted, but then he attempted to murder a police officer. And so for that, it's clear as day. He goes right out. He's not going for his chest. He's not holding onto his arms and resisting and just actively just don't want to let. He's literally not only going for his throat, but he's covering his mouth and nose, trying to asphyxiate him. And, you know, your heart rate's already through the roof. You're probably losing oxygen. He might have been on the brink of passing out. I've been in situations like this. And he's got nobody else there with him. He's already exhausted his taser. It didn't work. You know, the stick's not going to help him here. Can't get the pepper spray out. He's by himself and he's losing the fight, which probably is going to result in death. And that's what I'm sure what he's thinking. So there's no question about it. Very authorized situation to employ deadly force. I'm sure the intention wasn't to kill, but deadly force comes out and that's a circumstance of deadly force. So
yeah, I mean, I think once you tase somebody and it doesn't work, because there's an expectation, you know, through training, right? When we tase somebody, it's going to work because most agencies train, best case scenario. And, you know, in those training scenarios, you pop somebody with the taser and then the scenario is over. And when you're putting in a real life situation where the taser doesn't work and that expectation goes away, you know, I'm sure there was an oh shit moment. And also that's drug use, right? I think it's a good indicator. Good indicator.
Listen, drug use. I think we're going down a road that kind of is moot to the point. The point is I don't care if you're on drugs, alcohol, I don't care if you just did three backflips. The very moment you're trying to take another human being's life, the game changes. So resisting's one thing. Attempted murder of a police officer is a completely different thing. And so people could say, well, no, he was just trying to get him to pass out. That's how it goes. And then the gun's removed and the cop is shot on the side of the road. Yeah. This guy, I don't know the difference. Let's call it like it is. This was not some conversation. If I don't like your attitude, I'm going to submit. But I don't like your attitude. I think it's fair, but I'm going to let you put me in cuffs, right? This was, I'm going to get it. I'm not going to fight with a cop, even if they're completely wrong. I know better as a mature adult. Yeah, I mean, I will deal with this later on and hope for the best on the other side.
And in totality, it's going to be looked at from a totality of circumstances, you know, standpoint. And you're near a fucking busy highway. It's like
we can't criminalize. Like, you know, the bottom line is like society can't hold this guy accountable because his communication skills are shitty.
Right. Exactly.
Right. I mean,
that was kind of my point.
He didn't walk up to the car and punch the guy in the face. He walked up to the car and gave him verbal commands, albeit maybe not perfect.
Terse.
Nobody's gonna argue that.
Right.
Gave him verbal commands. He didn't punch him in the face. He didn't shoot him. He wanted him out. His objective was to get him in cuffs. He still used verbal commands. He used constructive authority by displaying the taser and doing a flash, whatever they call it, right? Display flash or whatever, whatever it is. And the guy still wasn't listening, wanted his hands behind his back, had to get him into cuffs. That's when that's when he would not still listen. It's, to me, it's textbook in the sense of we have to look at it from not a criteria of did they communicate well. That's actually irrelevant. I'm not saying it's not a factor in how fast things might have escalated, but that's not the point, because it's not a violation of law to yell at somebody when you're experiencing something like that. It's a violation of law to use force. It's a violation to use force when force isn't necessary. But let's be very fucking clear here. Everything this guy did, if we're just shut the video off on audio and let's just look at it, right? So, and then you tell me, did you think this is justified? And what would you do in this situation? And then, and again, just to be very clear.
Yeah, if you put it on mute, you're right. Like, maybe we would have benefited from watching this thing on mute.
I just don't think it's the next George Floyd. I mean, that's what was going on on Twitter last night. That's what my phone was blowing up. No. Everybody's like, oh, here it goes. I don't see it at all. Like,
but this is the George societal thing about it being election season. This is election
season.
They want
it to be. They want it to be a George Floyd. The next
George Floyd.
Yeah, yes. They want it to be.
They have beaten that campaign to death. And any politician outside of some very significantly anti-police areas, quote unquote, that is going to try to ride a campaign trail on a police hate is asking for trouble.
What do we do as a profession though when that same sentiment seeps into the police administration, where they're kowtowing, they're afraid that this is going to be the quote next George Floyd, as opposed to looking at it objectively like we just did?
I can't change people, and just because they wear a badge and have a uniform on, or might have some kind of special insignia on their collars or shoulders, I can't change who they are as human beings. What I can do is try to give guidance. And for us, this is impactful because I'm not trying to make the situation a martyr situation, push my agenda, but this is why we exist as a training company.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to do my very best to plant the seeds for the future of having a backbone, calling it what it is, own it when it's bad, own it when it's good. But let's face facts. You know, I was told recently that there was a chief in Florida who sold this guy out. I mean, just bad. It was a terrible thing. The guy had to use force. The chief's just, and so I'm told from everybody, like, yeah, he heard your podcast. He's angry about it, blah, blah, blah. Don't be mad at me. You're the one who's on film and on camera, not backing your cop, who was completely justified. And you're putting him through hell because you're a fucking, because you're scared. You're a scared little girl, right? And I'm going to
My favorite quote of all time
back it up. Not scared little girl. You're a scared little baby. So let me redact that, because there's a lot of girls that are tougher than guys in this industry. And I know that for a fact, and I'm friends with them and I know them. So that's not what I meant on that. You're a scared little baby. You're a scared little toddler because you don't have the balls to say, because you're worried about self-interest in yourself. And the reputation of that guy is profound. He just lives in la-la land, that everybody likes him. He's doing a good job. And everybody I've talked to who knows the dude is like, he's the worst. He's just the worst. He thinks he's good. Everybody hates his guts. And so it's clear. Then when you work for a guy like that and you're not leaving an agency like that, what do you think happens when you got to use force to challenge? And this know-nothing, do-nothing shows up and plays this game. I'm the chief. I should know. You don't. You have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway, I'm done. Rant over.
No, you're great. My favorite quote that I've coined is political police that poison the profession. It's these cops who get into the job just to politic their way to the top, and they hide from calls. They never put their neck out. They don't risk their life. They're not interested in becoming better leaders. All they're interested in is where can I squeeze myself in to get my picture taken? Who can I get my picture with? And who can I have dinner with? And they do this all the way to the top, and they've never been real cops, and they've never really been in it for the people either. They've never been in it for the men in uniform and the women in uniform, and they've never been in it for the community. They've only been in it to get to that level of being the chief or the major or the lieutenant.
Well, what's so when the they level get there, of that, right? It's about money. So that's the worst thing about this profession, is that if you took away the pay bumps for being a supervisor, if you just took them away, right?
Yeah.
I can guarantee you I'd say at least half the command staff would not be who they are. They would want to stay in patrol, hump a black and white, going around, right? Humping a radio car. And you'd have those who really believe they could help and do the right thing, and might seep in some of those power trippy people, but taking those positions because they want those positions. That's one of the worst things. The only way to make money in this profession is to get a higher ranking. And it's not the motivation of why you should want to be a higher command staff officer. Unfortunately, That's how it is in a lot of places. And I'm not knocking people who need to make more money. You should want to make more money, but that's one of the flaws of this industry, is that people are motivated with self-interest, and there's very limited fruit to pick, right? So if you think about it, there is not much fruit on the tree in a law enforcement organization. You want to get out of your, you know, Pittman schedule, rotating shifts. There's three spots in narcotics. So like when that one spot opens up every 4 years, everybody's stabbing each other in the back to get the fuck off the road, right? Everybody want 84 guys want the one dog that's available just to get a better assignment. So it just becomes a bloodbath because there's not enough for everybody. And then once you get something, you ever go to like a playground and watch kids play when there's like eight different things to choose from?
No, because I'm not a pervert.
I have four kids, you piece of shit.
I have five. I'm just kidding.
Okay, yeah. But you do like to come inside of people. I see that. That's great. Me too. I couldn't pull out of a fucking driveway, to be honest with you.
Me either. Right?
So listen, Catholic. You ever see these kids play? This is mine. This is my slide. You can't go on it, right? Once you've obtained the slide or the jungle gym or the swings, nobody wants to give them up. Nobody wants to say, well, you're probably better at this. No, this is my slide. I got to hold on to it forever. And sometimes until they force me out.
You can't run you can't autopilot a law enforcement agency by optics. Like, you can't run on optics alone. Optics are important because you do have to serve. You have to make tough decisions. You have to make decisions that are going to kill morale at times. But that should not be your guiding principle. What
Let me
the
just
community
jump in here
says
and say this real quick on that, because I don't want to lose that thought. You don't ever have to kill morale. If you have a good communication with the people that you work with and they respect you already, you can explain this to them and morale never gets killed because they still trust the guy at the top. It's the guy at the top or the girl at the top who is so fucking self-interested and has been such a piece of shit for so many years that anything they do, even when they do something fucking good, what do you say? What are they up to? Why do we get knit hats all of a sudden? Like, what's coming next? This is not right. Like, it's like you have this you know, beaten spouse forever, just beating the shit out of your kids. And all of a sudden your father comes home with a new bike and you're like, well, hold on. This guy's been beating my teeth in for 8 years. What's this about? Right. What does he want from us?
Yeah. I you're preaching the choir here. I mean, I had an audience of about 30 cops every night on the midnight shift. And I'm telling you, I ate this decision I made. I know it was the right decision to this day. I know it was the right decision. And I got in front of those people because I was worried about this, like killing the morale. It was he resisted arrest and he battered a Leo that I evaluated, looked at the body cam while we were standing there, discussed it with the supervisors there and said, we can't take this fucking guy to jail. We're not doing that. We can't take it just because he spit at him and he missed or whatever. I'm the first one to say, do not fucking ever disrespect our uniform or any one of our cops. But this is a bad decision. We're not doing that. I got up in the roll call the next morning or the next evening. Opportunity wasn't the next evening. And I said, look, I just want you all to know that it was my decision. And I'll make that decision the same way every single time because I have you to protect and I have an agency to protect and I have the citizens to protect. And that's what I'm going to do every time. And I understand, you know, the cop is sitting right there and I'm telling him, I understand if you're upset with me or you're angry with me or, you know, just don't turn negative. Just give me a shot and understand that there was a lot more to that decision than you think. I lose sleep over stuff like that. I'll buy you a fucking milkshake at the PDQ. So I'm telling you, within an hour, that guy came up to me and said, it's going to take a lot more than that to make me mad at you. And I was like, fucking, that's manly. You know, that's what I love. Mm. Like I came to them heart in hand. He came to me and said, no worries, my man. I'm not going to talk shit about you behind your back. You did the right thing. Everything.
Yeah. But I mean, that's transparency. We all appreciate transparency. Like even in our friendships or relationships, you know, when you start talking to people and you start letting people and you put it out on the line and stop hiding shit and harboring stuff. You know, I never knew that as like why supervisors would do that. I never did that. You know, when I was in FTO, I never did that with my rookies. I never just, when they would be like, hey, what are we going to do today? I wouldn't, you know, if I knew what we were going to do today, I wouldn't just be like, that's for me to know and you to find out. Get in. Oof. No, I would say like, listen, here's what we're going to do today. This is what I plan on doing today. You know, when you I don't know what it is when people get into leadership positions where they just think that like secrets are powerful or something like that. drives me bananas.
I will tell you what the problem is that we promote people and we send them to management school, not leadership school.
Oh, fuck.
That's
yeah.
the problem. So most guys or girls go to this 1 week, 5-4 day, 2 week, and it's about progressive discipline, about this, about the bullshit, about how what's appropriate discipline, how to get people to comply. Nobody ever sat them down and said, this is what leaders look like.
How to do the payroll. Like, don't tell me the fucking nuts and bolts. I'll figure that shit out on the job.
Leadership?
Tell me, yeah, build me into being a leader. Now I'll tell you this on the other side of that. I was promoted to first line supervisor. They had the first ever, what they called the Corporal Academy. It was the first ever leadership school. We were in a fairly progressive agency and they were into developing leadership, which was fucking greatly appreciated. And it was a leadership focused school. It was building you up to be a leader. Then I fucked up and I lost those stripes. I went back on the street and my struggle was I'm still the leader you built. And I wasn't, nobody was fucking having it because you're just a deputy now. You're not a corporal anymore. Like, so only half of the agency understood the leadership aspect of it. The other half recognized rank equals leadership, rank equals respect, rank equals.
That's a top level failure. That's all it just comes down to. That's a top level failure. And I mean, into the sense that if the top level is ignoring misbehavior or non-leadership in the rank and file, them just ignoring it and thinking it's going to go away, that's a major leadership failure. And if you want the fucking stuff on your shoulders and your collars, yeah, you get to go and have a better schedule and get a take home, a nicer take, whatever it may be, better gun, whatever it is. But that also means you got to eat the shit.
Yeah.
So you don't get to have caviar and steak all the time. And I got to tell you, one of the worst things about being somebody who is a leader or the owner of an organization as myself is I fucking hate having hard conversations, but I also understand that if I don't do it, it'll be the detriment of this company. And I have to have more hard conversations and they're fucking uncomfortable and they're the fucking worst. And I have to like literally just take everything I got. I'm like, oh, you suck. I can't have you here anymore. You're fucking this whole place up. Nobody likes you and you're a fucking cancer and I can't have you. Or like, I got to tell a guy who's in the stage three of his instructor development, like, dude, you're not a fit here. And they're like, fuck you. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but I can't have you wear this label. I've worked too hard for it. And the behavior you displayed last week on that email thread is fucking infantile. And I cannot even think about you being in the public wearing my fucking logo and behaving. We had a guy who came in at one point, wrote a nice program, and then he's in a fucking Facebook group that we have, 100,000 members, and he's acting like a fucking asshole. So people were like, yo, is that your instructor? I'm like, yo, if I ever catch you, he's a 50-year-old man. Like, if I ever catch you talking like that ever again in your fucking life, in our shit, not only I'm like, you're done here as an instructor, because he never had a paid class. You're fucking gone. He did it again 2 days later. He's getting reported to me. And I'm like, bro, this is not how we behave as street cop instructors. We're supposed to rise above everybody, be the big brothers and sisters, put our arm around people and say like, hey, man, like, I know this behavior did it. We're human too. We make mistakes, but what the fuck was that? And he's gone. I told this guy who was his coordinator, I'm like, fire him. I don't give a fuck. He's like, oh, I want to talk to Dennis. I go, I'm done. I talked to him once. He's fucking fired. He doesn't work here. He'll never work here ever a day in his life. Don't ever ask again.
Dude, we got eight guys on our staff, Drew, here at the Fair Thought Podcast. We never have to have those. Oh, we've had some weird conversations, but it's not like that. I think we're really lucky. We have really great ex-cops and current cops that work for us, work with us. I never even say for us. I used to say work with us. But I think we're really fortunate. But that, yeah, I can't imagine being on, you know, where you're at. And I think that's why Drew, that's why I like to keep Drew around, because Drew doesn't. Well, we have very little drama here. It comes.
I've
and
had
goes.
A few
creative
a few
differences. Is what
I've
I call
had a few
it.
Hard conversations, though.
I'm going to say this real quick.
That's for creative difference. That's not for being dumbasses. Like we didn't. We didn't move on from anybody here because they were fucking stupid. We moved on because it's like they wanted to do X type of show, and we didn't want that type of show, or vice versa. Right. Like it was never like man, you fucking suck.
Yeah, I'm not taking shots.
Let me
I'm
just say
saying,
something real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
I also, you know, you can speak to any staff member here and they'll tell you, this place is amazing. The people that I work with feel like family. I like you guys are my best friends. And there's a lot of us. And I say, and I always remind them, that's because Papa had to get rid of all this shit over the past 6 years and fire all these fucking lunatics
Yeah.
And these cancers. And I did all the dirt. And that's why we're here. We're harmonious and we're happy, because I'm not letting somebody come in here and disrupt what this is. So, and they're appreciative of that, because Den don't fucking sit here and take people's bullshit or ignore it. And so if I did and it made these other people frustrated, they would leave. They wouldn't want to be here. So as a good leader, I've got to be there for them to get rid of these fuckheads that we mistakenly hire at times, because they're wolf. Sometimes they're a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? They'll come in, they're the best. 4 weeks later, fucking Susan's being an asshole and talking shit about me over nothing behind my back. And that's fine. Susan may have shit going on at home, but you can't bring it here. And I would tell people, like, you can't bring your shit. Once you hit that door, it's got to be left out there. You can't bring your shit in this fucking building. I can't have it here. You're fucking everybody up, and I'm not going to have it. And so there's actually a viral video of me on TikTok, and they wanted to do a thing here, and it was working for your non-strict boss. And they asked these questions. It got like 1 million views. It got like 90,000 likes. It got like 800 thirsty comments that girls want to touch me in those places. You know,
that was, which was like fantastic. One of those was mine. I put one of those in there.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But that's it. I just wanted to say that. Go ahead, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, just Rhonda, new member. Thank you so much, Rhonda, for signing up for our YouTube channel, paid YouTube channel. Thank you. Rhonda's, she must be thirsty. Rhonda's thirsty for you.
Rhonda does her own show on Daniel Holtzclaw, if you'll remember.
She is the Holtzclaw lady.
And cool. By the way, while we're on the subject of past shows, did we all know and understand that Ben Darby pled guilty to manslaughter a couple days ago?
No, he did. And what did they give him? Like 5 years
time
probation
served. Or something? I think he got 3 years of probation and time served.
You know what? Honestly,
what you gotta do.
Bro, listen, dude. I was actually saying to his wife, and I don't want to sit here and start tooting my own horn. We tried to help her out. We have a lot going on.
Yeah.
My world's been a little upside down lately, and I've had to dismiss and sound crazy, and I don't want to go down the road of mental health. But Dennis need to be here for Dennis for a little bit. So I could only help as much as I could in the going through what I've been through. You know, and one of my first questions was like, you know, she's like, no, he's adamant. We're going to fight. I'm like, man, you're talking about 30 years in fucking prison, man. Like, you know, like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, sometimes I watched Deal or No Deal the other night with my kids, because like, you watch silly shit like that.
Yeah.
And this girl had $1 or $400,000 in a briefcase. And I'm like, take the fucking, the $200,000 are off in you. What are you, crazy? And she took the chance and won the 400, but dude, that's risky as fuck.
That's way too risky.
Yeah, it's a lot of risk, especially when you're talking about prison. Are you familiar at all with the Holtzclaw case, since we have Rhonda in here? Are you familiar with that case at all?
Is that the Ben Darby case?
No, the Daniel Holtzclaw case is insane. Get into it sometime. Dive into that. That is like, that's where my passion lies actually right now. I'm all about freeing California Daniel Holtzclaw. Guy?
No,
he was Oklahoma City. But listen, before you dive into this, before you dive into it, Dennis, listen. No, in no way, shape, or form would I ever want to put my reputation. I'm a married man with 5 kids, 1 wife, 5 kids, 13 years of marriage. I'm a family man. My kids are sponsored skaters. They do great. I'm a family man. I would never put my reputation from failure to stop or anything on a man who I thought, or there was any evidence that he did these crimes. I wouldn't do it. I have researched this case for 8 years. I'm telling you right now, the man is innocent. That's a bold statement. That's a crazy statement. I'm telling you, this guy is innocent. I've unturned every rock. I can talk to you on the phone about it. He was charged with 26 counts of sexual assault on notorious prostitutes. He did not do any of it. And I can show you all of the evidence. There was zero evidence.
Well,
the only reason he got charged was because of the time and place. Yeah. But if you get a chance, I beg you to please look at the Daniel Holtzclaw case.
I'll tell you what, if you go
atrocious,
if you go to the Failure to Stop YouTube channel, you will see right on the front page, there's a series podcast of 3 episodes. We completely break down that whole thing, to include his interviews and to include the trial. We even had his sister come on. Michelle, what's that?
206 years.
200 and I thought.
Are there appeals in place? Like, what's going on with that?
Yeah, there are appeals in place, but it's a difficult process. It's a very difficult process.
Oh, he's got a lot of people on his side. There's
Michelle Malkin has done, she interviewed the 2 detectives, and I want to do a full on breakdown of the interview that Michelle Malkin did with the detectives.
I'm way wrong. 263 years.
Yeah, they're clowns. I mean, like, I hate to call another cop that, and they know what they know, so maybe they know something else, but the answers they're giving Michelle Malkin, and it's raw video, so it's not the answers are way off. Like, I really think that they just had investigative tunnel vision and they put this guy in prison. And there's a lot of people that are putting all of their money and all of their chips on this guy being innocent. Not guilty, but innocent.
Even the lawyer that was going against them, the defense lawyer, went out to back to Ohio and tried to interview
old girlfriends,
everything. And he said, listen, I couldn't find one person to say a negative thing about Daniel, period. And so he feels like, even though that he was the lawyer that got him put in jail, like he even says in a beautiful dialogue, I can't say he didn't do it. But what I'm saying is I tried to find anybody that had something negative to say about this guy. We searched his phone, no porn. We found his computers, no porn. I mean, this dude had not had a complaint from a girl. This dude was a morally just man. There's no way he went and had sex with 26 prosties, which, by the way, like you go look at the story, 13 of them,
and they only interviewed
say that they were lying because they were just like, we just saw a white guy. And he's not white. He's not white, by the way. He's like Polynesian. It's an insane case, Dennis. It's one of the most insane cases. If you look at Daniel Holt's call on YouTube, you can see him crying when he gets convicted. My heart has poured out to him since 2014 or 15, whenever this happened. And it was one of these ones that I felt like God was calling me to talk about before I was ever a podcaster when I was still a street cop. And now having just Rhonda on here and having you on here, it's just one of those cases, man. It's literally the only case. I've had my teeth shattered, my leg broke, my arm broke. I've been in some crazy cases. This is the only case, and I'm not even a part of it, that has kept me awake at night. This case, I remember in 2018, never having a panic attack in my life. I couldn't stop thinking about Daniel Holtzclaw in his cell and what he's going through right now. And I was having like a legit, like, obviously I didn't like wake anybody up and make a scene about it, but like I was in my bed going like, I got to get up. I got to go for a jog. I got to do something. Like I can't, this is insanity to me. Insane case, Dennis. Insane case.
So Dennis, just to kind of put a bow on some of these things, we need for you to plug some of your stuff, but I want to tell you this. You're without, you know, blowing too much sunshine up your rear end. We have an organization here, Failure to Stop. Eric and I are kind of running things. It's Eric's show, and we're looking to do things like you do. In other words, we're using you as kind of the model, that you're kind of the mentor in this whole thing, honestly. And here's the thing that I pride ourselves the most on, and this applies to law enforcement training, it applies to everywhere else. The best lessons are learned in private business. So we're following things, we're following what Gary V says, we're following what Alex Harmozy says. Like, this is where we're trying to model after. We're not trying to model anything after a law enforcement agency, because that's a colossal failure and that's a government entity. So you're the closest thing that we got, kind of. We're just trying, you know what I mean, we're just trying to make this association and follow in your footsteps somewhat. We're not going to be a training company, but we're a company, and we're trying to get there. So thank you for doing what you're doing. I'm going to tell the rest of the people watching, though, to go to Street Cop Podcast, watch that. It's healthy. It's good stuff. It's inspirational stuff. The most recent episode that I watched was, I think her name is Angela. She was an attorney and she was a prosecutor or a state.
The Green Beret one's the last one I listened to.
She was a state, assistant DA.
She still
phenomenal
is, yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. I mean, just like, courtroom testimony and demeanor was something that was near and dear to me when I was teaching full on. It's something that they're lacking, period, in law enforcement. And it's the most important thing. Jesus Christ, getting somebody in handcuffs is the start of a criminal justice process. The trial and testifying is the most important part, because the prosecutor has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, whereas we only have probable cause. What goes into that is writing a proper report that supports proof beyond a reasonable doubt, not just probable cause. So having guests on like that, or having guests on, you know, that are motivational or health wise, we appreciate what you're doing. I'm going to tell you that. Also, it takes your own money. And I'm talking to all the cops out there. Sometimes it takes your own money to go to these trainings, like the street cop thing that's coming up in Orlando. It's going to take your own money. Like, you'll invest for whatever reason in $200 worth of fucking strobes around your car, but you don't want to pay $195 to go to a class for ground fighting or interdiction or whatever. You can also do little books like this one that I'm almost done with that you won't see, maybe. Kapokaze.
Tom Rizzo's book, yeah.
Total, I'm 75% done. We are definitely on the same page. I follow him on social media. He follows me. We are definitely on the same page when it comes to...
Tom lives 30 seconds down the road from where I'm sitting right now.
He's an awesome fella. And we're going to have actually, he's coming on in November 3rd. He'll be on here. So we can't wait for that. I appreciate
you want to meet us. You're in Florida for real?
No, he's not. No. He's in New Jersey.
Okay, I was going
to say. You guys are near Jacksonville Beach, right?
No, I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. He's in Tampa, Florida. We do meetups everywhere. I mean, we had one in Cincinnati, Ohio. We've had a few in North Carolina. We've got one with Vinny Montez in Albemarle, North Carolina. Drew's opening up for that. I'm doing the stand-up comedy with Vinny Montez. For the North Carolina tour that he's got going on a couple of places here. And then, our meetup this week or next week is in Jacksonville, Florida. We travel all around. I've done one in Nashville, but we do these like little podcast meetups and we bring
it's
a
morale
bunch of,
building. It's not necessarily instruction. It's morale.
It's just morale building. It's funny. We cheese, we take over a bar. We get all the cops in there. I bring dudes up on the microphone. I cheese on them. I make fun of a couple of state troopers as a good street cop does. But anytime that if we do one up in New Jersey, man, we'd love to have you as our guest. We've had Lieutenant Colonel Scheller show up. Dexter Pitts has been to the meetup. Hamity just sent the Terrorist Whisperer. We've got Conservative Ant coming to this one. We love doing that. And it boosts the morale for those local cops, man. They love that. And they get to unwind and hang out with like-minded guys that have their backs.
I think we're overestimating how cool I actually am or how popular I actually am.
Yeah,
bro. I saw that haircut and I was like, dude, this is like top 10 coolest dude I've ever met. Like, just
we're definitely
overselling
it. But when I saw the faux hawk, I thought, fuck,
it's a mohawk. It's a full mo.
We're in rare air. I understand that. Well, Dennis, don't you have stuff to promote your stuff? Like,
yeah,
where can people find you?
Yeah,
Street Cop University is coming out in the first week of November and it's going to be fucking game changing. And if you're looking to come to our conference in Orlando, April 28th through the May 3rd, which is going to be fucking profound. Wait till you see we've been holding back our calendar a little long, but waiting for the announcement. Street Cop University will come with a free ticket to that. The ticket's $6.99, but when you see university, you're actually getting free shit just for signing up for university. So that's going to get a free ticket. That's just one of the many benefits, but you can follow us anywhere on any social media platform, Street Cop Training. You'll find it. If you're a law enforcement officer listening to this, check out our private Facebook group, our private Instagram. I mean, anywhere, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of resources, a lot of free stuff. But Street Cop University and StreetCop.com is where you can find our however many instructors we have now in over 70 programs nationally. It's easy to search. The website lags a little bit. Just be patient with it because we're still working out the bugs with that. And that's it, man. I just want to say that I appreciate being on this podcast. It's been fantastic. It was a real fun experience and getting to know you, Drew and Eric. I appreciate it so much. I don't know if people have questions they want to ask me before we button up. But,
yeah, you guys got some questions. We'll give you like 5-6 minutes, throw out some quick questions there. So you said your next thing is in Orlando?
April 12th. So our next, we have an annual conference. We'll probably have, I would think, somewhere in the ballpark of 2,000 to 3,000 cops in that conference in Orlando. We'll be at the Gaylord Palms in right at the bottom of the entrance to Disney.
That's gorgeous.
Bro, ask anybody who's been to our conference before. I will say this with all the audacity in the world. I challenge anybody who runs a law enforcement conference to even compare your shit to mine. That's
most of them don't have fucking pyrotechnics. We'll just say that.
I fucking dare you to attempt, dude. Even like, and I got to tell you, we're friends with a lot of the big three-letter agencies and stuff like that. They've been to ours and are like, oh, dude, yours is so much better than ours. I'm like, well, yeah, like we make it that way. Thank you, Teresa. That's very nice of you to say. I appreciate it. Teresa's a very nice name. You probably find 3,000 of them in New Jersey.
You can find like all three of them that are in North Carolina are at the strip club. So next off stage, Teresa.
Smoking Winston's.
Winstones.
Listen, yeah. If you ever want comedy at one of your shows, I'm in with all the cop comedians, Todd McComas, who was on Barstool Sports. Are you familiar with Todd? Comas, he's got a great, he now works for, I think, Tenderfoot Media, but he's got the investigator. He's a 30-year detective or something like that. I don't know, maybe 25-year detective. And then he went over to work for Barstool Sports, does full-time comedy. Awesome. Really cool guy, really funny. Vinny Montez, we know Vinny Montez.
Isn't Vinny, Vinny's the guy on Rogan all the time, right?
Vinny Montez has been on Rogan. He's been on like a lot of stuff. I mean,
okay, I don't
he's got like 11 million, I think, on YouTube, like on some
that's
of his
great.
Stuff.
11 million followers?
No, like views, like 11 million views on one of his things. Maybe I'm wrong.
Wait,
on that,
but... so just so you know, the guy, you know, I'm talking about the, who's the other guy, the Vinny guy from who's always on Rogan? He's like the, oh, yeah, cocaine, right? Like,
No. Vinny Montez is actually still an active cop.
He's a cop comedian, so he's a little bit cleaner.
That guy lives right by me. Like, so a few of these guys live right by me. Yeah, so my friend, owns a pizzeria. He's like, he comes in here every week to order up like 15 of these fucking pies.
There's a Jersey guy that owns a pizzeria somewhere.
I counted. I worked in 26 square miles. I counted one day out of boredom how many pizzerias were in the 26 square miles that I worked. We had 98 pizzerias.
Joey Diaz is who you're thinking of.
So MurfTech30 wants to know in the chats, where does Dennis release his underwear ads for his modeling career? We've never figured out if Murf530 is a dude or a girl. He's been in our live chats for like 2 years. No idea if this is a guy or a girl.
It doesn't matter. You're more than welcome to find me attractive. That's fine. It happens for both sides of the coin, men and women, except men are much more bold in letting me know that they want to do things to me, specifically because I travel so much. Flight attendants happen to shoot their shot with me almost every single trip.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, did I get murdered? I get crushed.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to admit something to you. Not what you think, Eric. But I'm going to admit something to you. I'm telling you, it's the vibe you give off because I think I have the same thing. Like when you're a nice guy or you have the fucking soul, you know, look, I'm in my 60s or 70s or whatever you guys think. I'm actually only 38.
But you give off the daddy vibes, the sugar daddy vibes. That's what it is. When you go on your first class flight with your stupid fucking Samsonite duffel bag, they're like,
I think you give off like, to me, you give off like, guidance counselor who everybody gets along with, but like yeah, still okay. drives a Ford Taurus, right? Like Alex that's the kind of vibe I get.
No, you guys just got to do what
I do and get a stupid fucking haircut and act like an idiot all the time, and no girl wants to come near you. You know what I mean? nobody wants to mess with me. I own a distillery and everything else. I never get hit on ever, except from Sarah Kelch. But Sarah You're Kelch disgusting. Is like 25. She looks like 17. So I would never ever shoot my shot there because I don't want to be confused with a pedophile. You know, any guy that wants to get with Sarah that's over 25 years old is a pedophile because you look like you're 12. You know what I'm saying? Stay away from girls like Sarah Kelch.
Listen, that's not good for her though. She's probably looking for a nice man. Shouldn't be so judgmental.
She'll have no problems.
Yeah.
No, any guy that wants to get with Sarah that's over 25 has got ulterior motives. You know what I'm saying?
That's not fair to Sarah, though.
He's got an agenda. We love Sarah. She's actually a mermaid.
How come nobody is paying attention to what Stillamander says here? Drew gives off the knows exactly what to do with a woman but won't over tell you vibes. Thank you. Thank you. I could never tell you myself, but I could certainly read your comment. That's good.
I'm not anybody's type, Sarah. Nobody wants, except my wife. My wife's the only one that wants to be with me. Trust me. Well, listen, we really appreciate you being on Dennis Bonino. Boom.
Hey!
Wow. Yeah, let's go.
Hey! Italian accordion playing in my head. Right.
Man, you see that learning curve? I always start down here, but it's a rapid rise to the top.
That is deceiving for your intelligence level. I got to tell you.
Thank you. Hey, we appreciate you coming on. We appreciate everything that you do for cops and for first responders. You guys make sure you go over there and follow Dennis. Last Known President says, please have Dennis on again. He's a busy guy. You know what I mean?
I have one fan. This is fantastic. One fan. No. Thank you, Last Known President.
No, it's filled. Trust me.
Oh, all right, guys. Until next time, guns up. Giddy up.
Hey guys, check out our upcoming training at streetcop.com. Don't forget, we have 50 instructors nationally teaching a variety of topics. These are the best classes you're going to experience in your career. We make sure of it. You're going to love it. I guarantee you, you're going to be thankful that you went. Check us out at streetcop.com for all upcoming classes in your area.